The right refinancing option can be complicated. And for those with student debt, it's getting harder to travel, buy a home, or even get married. Refinancing student loans into one payment is a smart way to free up money for other things. At Citizens Bank, we can help you refinance both your federal and private loans so you could start saving and get on with your life. We'll help take the stress out of paying off your student loans. Just ask us how refinancing can help you reach your potential. Visit citizensbank.com/refi to learn more.
Rates and offers subject to change. All loans subject to individual approval. Terms and conditions apply. Citizens Bank is a brand name of Citizens Bank N.A. and Citizens Bank of Pennsylvania.
It's exactly what your coworkers are going to be talking about today.
I am dizzy. I'm really dizzy.
Thatcher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and we have Dan Roach filling in. Let's just finish up Chris's point. Chris, I'm sorry, continue. You were bitching about Roach and his negativity. He says, why does he have to be positive all the time?
I wasn't bitching. I was just more concerned because it just seems like when someone's so afraid to go to the negativity, I just wonder if like there's a bigger problem there.
But is this Fred?
No. But I have been listening. I have been listening to you guys a lot lately, so maybe it's rubbing off. No, I just tried to relate it back to like Inside Out. Like, come on, Dan. Like, it's okay. Sometimes it's okay to be sad. Like, sometimes you got to let the sadness come out, and it's okay.
I understand that, and you know, I think because I'm overwhelmingly positive that you don't hear some of the negativity that I get upset with.
When's the last time you punched a wall?
Oh gosh, I don't think I've ever punched a wall.
Have you ever broken anything in anger?
No.
Okay, because people who are I like to consider myself a positive person, but I think that with people who are positive, when there are those moments that get them very negative, it's usually making up for lost time of being like slightly negative.
I
so you go
really
in a big
like,
way.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, there's been some things that have happened, like it really tense. Put
sure.
it that way. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And my wife knows, like, you know, because we've been together for 25 years.
Yeah.
Like, uh oh, what's the matter?
Yeah.
You know, so I'll see something like that. But other than that, you know, I'm not going to punch a wall.
What's the most upset you've been over a sports defeat? Like a huge loss. Like, because I know that we've taken calls before, guys who have thrown TVs out the window, because you are so damn passionate about the Red Sox.
Yeah,
I mean, there's nobody I know who likes the Red Sox more than you.
But that's the one thing that I don't get upset about. I don't know why.
Is when like a team loses?
Yeah, I don't. You know what I mean? Like, there was a place we were in after the 2003 ALCS.
Mm-hmm.
We were at a what's the there's a diner down in New York City at 4 o'clock in the morning. We're sitting there. It's me, Lobel,
Denny's.
Carnegie Deli.
Okay.
I think is the big thing. And Lobel, Russ Kent, our producer. And they all got really upset with me because I turned to them. It's 4 a.m. and it happened and Wakefield gave it up. And it was, you know, one of the low points of the franchise. And I turned to them and I said, you know, what a great series. I can't wait for spring training to get this thing going again.
I would have killed you too.
I know.
You've got to be
That's
kidding me.
That's the one
me.
Time I don't want to hear it.
After 0-3, really?
Yeah,
I would have thrown something
what?
At you.
I don't want to hear it.
Oh, yeah, my
that's
God,
that's the one
Danny.
Time I don't want to hear it.
I was pumped, though. I was like, I knew it was going to get better.
That's not being positive.
You
that's
did
just
not.
That's just not knowing how to read the room.
Unbelievable. You actually said that?
Yeah.
I would have hit you over the head with something big.
All right. Well, we got to get to our friend Ian Eagle. He is calling some of the March Madness. He's going to be here, right? He's doing the game.
Calling
here
at the garden.
Garden,
yep.
All right, so he's doing two games tonight. We will get to him right after John Wallach's
headlines. I wonder where he went to school.
Yeah.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins continue their road trip in Dallas tonight against Tyler Seguin and the Stars. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the pregame at 8 and the faceoff at 8:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Celtics begin their 4-game West Coast road trip in Portland tonight against the Trailblazers. Sean Grannigan and Cedric Maxwell have the pregame at 9:30 and the tip-off at 10 on 100.7 WZLX. Jaylen Brown said yesterday he's hoping to be back by Sunday in Sacramento. Evansville has hired Celtics assistant Walter McCarty as their new head basketball coach. In college basketball news, Florida State beat Gonzaga last night 75-60 to reach the Elite Eight of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Marfuse Zags reached the national championship last year. This year, their run ends in a Sweet 16.
They're good. I mean, they are a really good basketball team that's playing really good right now. I mean, I think they've really figured out what makes them go, and obviously it's their defense. It's extremely disruptive. It's hard to get kind of consistent rhythm against.
Hugh is speaking with CBS Television. Seminoles play Michigan next. Wolverines blew out Texas A&M 99-72 in the South region. Loyola of Chicago beat Nevada 69-68. Kansas State beat Kentucky 61-58 tonight. Sweet 16 of the East region at TD Garden. Top-seeded Villanova plays West Virginia. Purdue plays Texas Tech. Red Sox lost an exhibition game to Baltimore yesterday 10-7. And the Boston Uprising beat the San Francisco Shock last night 3-2 in Stage 2 play of the Overwatch League. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Boston Laser. Do what Gerard Mayo did in Start Seeing 2020 with a LASIK procedure at Boston Laser, 866-77-LASER. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. It's available in the App Store and Google Play. Toucher and Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Talented freshmen are out.
98.5 a Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Upsets everywhere. March Madness. I the first two rounds, it's so funny. Like, I timed my trip to Vegas so wrong. I got there literally as like the last games in the first two rounds were ending. And I was there for the 2 days where nothing happens and left as soon as it started again. So I just got back yesterday, and I missed out on all the fun out there. But a guy who is not missing out on any of it, because he is calling it, especially for CBS Sports, he's here in at the TD Garden. He'll be doing tonight's two games, and I believe on Sunday as well, the final. Ian Eagle, our good friend, is on with us. Good morning, Ian. Good to have you on.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so Calipari yesterday, first of all, how major of a disappointment is this that Kentucky ended up getting knocked out yesterday?
Well, I mean, things have opened up, obviously, in that region in the South. So I think the perception was that talent would rise above, there would be some order restored, and Kentucky would find itself in the Final Four, even though it was a circuitous route. They looked tentative for a lot of that game. Obviously, P.J. Washington was struggling at the free throw line, and they put themselves in a hole late, and I can't say that I walked away shocked. I saw them twice in person this year. They got crushed in Gainesville by Florida. They got beat fairly soundly in Missouri, and each time I just felt that the team was lacking something, someone that could take over a game when necessary. And they just didn't have that player this year.
With all of these upsets, and I know that there's upsets every year, but this one was weird. You had the first, like, you know, 116 upset in men's NCAA March Madness history. Do you think it was seeded right? Like, when you look at the seeding, when it first came out, did you have a problem with it?
I didn't. No, I think Virginia deserved to be a number one seed based on what they did all year. Now you lose DeAndre Hunter, arguably their best athlete, certainly a guy that they leaned on in his freshman year to bring a little something different to the court. You still don't believe they're going to go down in the first round. It's never happened. One has never lost to a 16. But now that you look back on it, you say, yeah, this seems right. This seemed like the year. This was appropriate that this topsy-turvy season in college basketball would produce the first one versus 16. Were there some issues in the 3 seed down to the 6 seed? Let's take Boston for an example. It's the closest thing we have to chalk. West Virginia is better than a 5 seed. They are. Now, that's unfortunate for Villanova that they have to deal with them now, but odds are they would have had to deal with them at some point if they were pushed up the ladder and they were a 3 seed or a 4 seed. Texas Tech is a legitimate 3 seed. They're that good. Maybe people didn't know about them, but to me that was an appropriate seed. So the way things have sorted out, you're always going to have question marks. This year in particular, I think the committee had a tough time placing some of these teams based on the unpredictability of college basketball this season.
All right, let's talk about the first game at the Garden tonight. You mentioned it, Villanova and West Virginia. You know, Villanova, of course, I had the wonderful joy of my son was a junior, I think, or a senior at Villanova when they won the national championship a couple of years ago. I went to Syracuse, so we've battled back and forth with fun stuff like that. Break down that matchup. Villanova comes in here. Jay Wright was talking about the old days of the Big East with Raleigh Massimino when he played at the Garden, you know, that when the Nova played at the Garden as part of the Big East. Just your thoughts on what that it should be a great atmosphere for that first game against a real tough matchup in West Virginia.
Yeah, very tough matchup based on the way they play from a play-by-play man standpoint. West Virginia is a tough team to prepare for. He just comes at you in waves. Bob Huggins, he'll send 9, 10, 11 deep. He doesn't care. He'll go to whoever on his bench that can help him with that pressing mentality. Now, the positive for Villanova is twofold. One, if they handle the press, they're going to get open threes, and they made more threes than anybody else in college basketball this year. And two, I haven't seen them rattled that often. So the idea that this style, this philosophy is automatically going to rattle a team that still has championship pedigree, won the title 2 years ago, and their style of play is just really pleasing to the eye. They make the extra pass. They find the open man. They make threes. There's a certain rhythm to how they play. I'd say it's the closest thing to an NBA style from at least my perspective of calling the game, where there's a certain rhythm in how they go about their business, and it's been really successful this year. They've got excellent players. Bridges will be a lottery pick. I think Jalen Brunson's one of those guys that will find his way to the NBA. He may not necessarily have all the measurables, but he's done it in every level that he's played at. He's just proven he's a winner. They're a fun team, and they're a nicely balanced team as well.
I actually think the late game is being overlooked, Ian. Villanova gets a lot of press, and deservedly sure. So, and all the upsets going on. No one ever mentions Purdue, and Purdue's been very good all year. And they're facing a team in Texas Tech, which you just spotlighted. But there's history between the two head coaches. Chris Beard was the head coach of Arkansas Little Rock a couple of years ago. They beat Purdue in a 5-12. Is that right?
Yeah, and the funniest part, when you sit down with these coaches, you can usually anticipate what the answers are going to be. So we sat down with Chris Beard yesterday, and I tossed it out there. How much of that game can you use? Is there any insight that you can glean from 2 years ago? And the normal response from a coach in that setting is, no, different team, different. He looks at me in the eye and says, oh, yeah, we can use that. That's information that we can actually use, and I believe there are things on that tape that will resonate for this matchup against Purdue. So I thought that was refreshing that he answered it honestly, and obviously he's got confidence that he scouted this team 2 years ago. They pulled off the upset with Little Rock. That set him on this course to getting a big-time job. He was actually given the UNLV job before all of this happened, and 13 days in, he realized that Texas Tech, when it was offered to him, was a dream opportunity. So he stood up the Running Rebels. He goes to Texas Tech, and here we are 2 years later. He's got a chance to do it all over again against a very good Purdue team playing without their big man, 7'2", 290-pound monster Isaac Haas. Has got that fractured right elbow.
All right, Ian, let's discuss the elephant in the room. Dan Roach, and we're on TV. This show is broadcast on television. Dan Roach is wearing a Villanova baseball shirt, but underneath he has a Syracuse University polo. And I know you, too, are a Syracuse grad, as many of the people in this business are. I want to ask you, honestly now, does the reputation that Syracuse basketball fans have, is that warranted? Is that warranted, the absolute hatred of Syracuse basketball fans nationwide? Is that warranted?
No. Are you crazy? Very, very humble.
Yeah.
Very much
okay.
Stay in their lane. No. You have a complete misrepresentation of what this is all about. First of all, let me say this. Having graduated in 1990, all I heard when I was going through Syracuse was, you got to meet Dan Roach. Have you met Roachie? Do you know Roachie? I'm like, no, I don't know Roachie. I've never met Roachie. So then I graduate, and now I'm doing games in New England. I'm doing games in Boston. And now people just assume that I know Dan, and I know him well. They're like, I was talking to Roachie, and I know you're going to be there. So Roachie, I said, I've never met Dan. We have not crossed paths. We have not shared a moment. So the hope is, I don't know if you're going to be there at all over the next couple of days. I'd like to finally spend 5 minutes with Rochi.
Is
that because Rochi's muscle car was a little too fast for you squares back in college?
I wasn't running in the Rochi crew.
he would like pull up and just lower the shades, right. And he saw Iron Eagle and went, see then, you later doofus.
Him and Tirico in the back seat would buzz you, go by.
It would cruise. Your son is doing
cool.
Like he's doing the games there now, right? At Syracuse, he's taking over in your footsteps.
Is he better than you?
Oh yeah, he's definitely better than me. There's no comparison. Better looking. He's a nicer guy. Yeah, it's just a 2.0 version, basically. We had a little deal with the government in '96 where we went through a cloning experiment.
You're not kidding. I've seen a picture of you two together.
Yeah,
it's like you're speaking to yourself.
Eerie, Ian. It is.
I know. It's like a weird thing when people come up to me like, "Wow, your son looks just like you."
Right.
Yeah, that's a good thing. No, yeah, kind of good. Sure.
So he's a junior. Is he calling the Duke game tonight?
No. Seniors do that. His dad knows. Yep. There's a caste system at Syracuse, so he's got to wait his turn. And next year he'll be involved in the NCAA tournament. He did lacrosse last week, Rutgers and Syracuse. That was a big Scarlet Knights victory in Piscataway.
What's the biggest word of advice you gave him going into broadcasting and following your footsteps?
Naked photos of television executives.
Don't do it.
It gets you far.
Find something else.
That's right.
That's what I would have said.
It got Roach where he is today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That and the right sleeveless jean jacket in his Camaro. What's up, baby? All right. Well, Ian, it's good stuff having you on. And
Hopefully I'll see you tonight.
I hope so, Rochi, truly.
Yeah. You guys can finally meet, and then worlds will collide and heads will melt. All right. Thank you very much, Ian. We appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Have fun.
Have fun this weekend.
All right. But in all honesty, it's like this picture of him and his son, they are the same human being. It's like, I mean... Yeah. That's a guy that you use your dad's fake ID to get into bars.
Every dorky broadcaster's dream, you know, is to have their son go through the ranks of the school that you went through. That's pretty cool.
I don't know if I want my son to follow in my footsteps.
I told my son not to.
I know. My kids are eight. I've already said that. Start studying, honest to God. Right. You know?
Although if you wanted to follow my footsteps, I would say just stop exercising.
Nice, Rich.
You want to fit in?
I understand
in
that
the sports
completely.
Media world,
hell yes.
Just give up.
Yeah,
give up on life, and just criticize the people who didn't. That's all you got to do.
There you go,
and you'll fit right in. All right, 617.
You should be a professor.
All right, sure. 779-0985. It's Toucher and Rich. CBS Sportsman, Acura Peabody, Boomer Esiason's gonna tell you about the NCAA tournament action, which we just had a guy who told us that for 15 minutes.
It's T&R, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Toucher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
When I was about 13, I had an infatuation with that cologne called Brute.
Yeah, I remember it.
About a bottle of that would last me a week. My brother and I, we had a shared bathroom because our rooms were adjoining. I was like in mid-splash, and my mother barged in to tell me not to put on so much cologne so I didn't smell like a French you-know-what. The splash ended up going right down my throat, and then I instantly puked all over my brother.
How'd he smell?
So you accidentally ingested a mouthful of Brute and immediately vomited.
Yep, right on my brother.
Man. Was his name Al? His name's brother. Did you say Brute? Al. Because he threw Brute all over Al.
See, brutal. See, I speak Rochi. I saw what was coming.
We'll be right back.
Officially the worst joke it's ever been told on this show. Although I have a short memory, so maybe there has been some, but I mean, Brute, Al, that's
brutal.
Yeah, that's not...
All right.
Not very good. So bad it's great, actually. I don't expect anything. That is as Dan Roach as it gets. It's been a very Dan Roach morning.
See, 2:30? Get it?
2:30? Of course. You should have cracked that one with Remy and Orsillo when you were doing the stuff on the the dugout. All right. It's Toucher and Rich. Dan Roach has been filling in this morning, and I am kind of fascinated with something that's been going on. Let me first start off with this. Gordon Hayward's a strange guy in the way that he is somebody who kind of went through the cool guy car wash. If you saw how he looked when he played for Butler, he was kind of a geeky looking guy. And next thing you know, he gets a lot of money and somebody's gelling his hair back. And now he's, kind of Mr. Cool. But the one thing that has not gone away is his absolute infatuation with all things gaming. Like, he is all in on these leagues. As a matter of fact, isn't he part owner in one of these professional gaming leagues? Doesn't he have like some
I do not know the answer to that.
Okay, I think he's got some sort of stakes in it.
I know Jerebko bought one of those esports teams when he was here.
Yeah,
I don't
know. But Jerebko was definitely on it. But Hayward still gets on and will play for hours upon hours on end. And there was a, I guess it's a brand new game that just came out, which is, what the hell is the name of this thing? Fortnite. It's a new game. I think it's a free game that came out. And he likes doing those things where you have the video set up and it films you actually playing the game. So about two nights ago, he hopped on there and a bunch of people were watching Gordon Hayward play video games. And he's really into it. Apparently, he's doing very well. He's excellent video game. He's one of these guys, like top level gamers.
Remember, it was a recruiting problem at Butler when Brad Stevens came to his house and Gordon Hayward. We talked to him about this during right before the season started.
Yeah,
if you remember correctly, Gordon Hayward was winning money as a high school kid.
Yeah, and you
playing
do
video
that.
Games, right. And it might have been Brad Stevens had to go through his compliance office because he thought it was a recruiting violation.
Yeah.
Or you know, he made it might have made him ineligible
right.
to play at Butler.
You couldn't be a student,
yeah.
and make cash and doing any kind of competition. So this is Gordon Hayward, and this is how into it he is. So at one point he's playing, and just like you know, I'm sure many of us have done before, his wife comes in and doesn't seem to really have any of this. She's like, all right, you stupid video game. And so she comes in, and at one point, you can tell she's kind of over it because she just plops their kid on his lap while he's, like, playing. This is the clip.
Uh-oh, there's another person on the...
Oh, hi, Charlie.
How much longer are you playing?
I don't know, for a little bit longer.
No, I need dinner, so...
Your dinner's ready? Charlie, what's up? Uh-oh. Charlie, you're gonna make me die.
I'm in trouble here.
Just putting the baby. Wow. Putting the baby on right now.
Pops her right on the lap, and so he's got to look like left and right. The baby's like blocking his way. Which I guess is kind of something that makes him a little bit identifiable. I think we've all dealt with that before. We're doing something, and wife comes aware. But this leads me to something that I'm fascinated with. So about a month and a half ago, John Wallach, our own John Wallach, has started to include in his headlines not only the scores of your Boston Bruins, your Celtics, and you know, even some college scores in there, but he has also started reporting the scores of the Overwatch League. What is the Overwatch League? That is the big gaming community that or gaming professional gaming team that is owned by, I think, the Crafts.
Yep.
And they compete for big money and big prizes against other teams across the country. Now, I find it hysterical.
Around the world, man. What? Shanghai, Tokyo, Seoul.
It's the Boston what?
The Uprising.
Okay, the Boston Uprising is the name of the team. And there's no home field or home court or home computer bar or whatever it is. Everyone plays out at the old Carson.
The old Carson studio, the Tonight Show studio in L.A.
Okay,
yes.
So they all play out there.
Mm-hmm.
But what has happened since John has started reporting the Overwatch League?
Yes.
Which, by the way, may I just say, it wasn't his choice. What has happened since then is that there have
been... Keep the curtain pulled, man.
A huge contingent of Overwatch League fans who are now Wallaholics. Love John Wallach because he has legitimized the Overwatch League by talking about it to the point where he now has over 1,000 new followers because he's been talking about the Overwatch League.
Story. Have they sent you like Uprising gear and everything
no.
like that too?
No, I haven't gotten anything.
No?
No uniforms, no controllers,
really?
Nothing, no.
You see, I didn't think
you
that...
You figure at least a free copy of Overwatch, nothing,
right?
You know?
I didn't think it would have been your reports that would have gotten them to be fans of yours and think they were one of your own. I thought it would have been your face that would have got them to think that they were
one of your own. That's such an easy joke.
It was easy, but
I mean,
it was fun.
That's almost as bad as his from last segment. My God, certainly. You're better than that.
Don't include me in this.
This was fairly clever.
Joke was brutal.
So here's what I want. I want to give your esports fans what they want. All
okay.
Right? I want you to be the man that they think you are.
Okay.
How do you hook up one of these videos where it's got your face in the corner and you're blasting other dudes? I want to get like the best Overwatch players to take you on and for you to do one of these live streams like Gordon Hayward did.
Oh, you want me to try?
Where you put the headset on and you got to take on these
guys. I'll be dead in 5 seconds. I'm terrible at it.
You want to go go.
No, you won't. You're going to be terrible. Listen,
yeah.
They think that you are going to live up to their vision of you
right?
as the savior of all things.
I got to get Dreamcasper to pull me under his wing, man.
How do we do this? Anybody out? If there's anybody out there who knows how to set this up, 617-779-0985. I would listen if someone from the Overwatch League is listening, even though they're out in Los Angeles, but the Boston Overwatch League.
I think they had the head honchos local, right. if I remember correctly.
I want you to do one of these Gordon Hayward videos. I want you in the corner right screen. I want you with a headset on, mm-hmm. and I want the the best of the Overwatch League taking you on in one of these games.
While you're
the best of the Overwatch League?
Yes.
It's got to be like a minor league Overwatch guy, a bench guy maybe.
Play him in Pac-Man.
Now we're talking. If you want to play Punch-Out, I'm your man.
No. You have brought Overwatch to the masses, and they love you for it. You need to be their god. You're like C-3PO in Return of the Jedi. God. They're the Ewoks. Yeah, okay. They will worship at your throne. So if anybody knows how to do this, I got to figure out. And listen, I'm not knocking the Overwatch League. This stuff's blown up. Esports is massive. And I enjoy. Yeah. If I
It's much bigger than you think it is.
No, I know it's huge.
I'm saying for the general public who's listening,
if
it's much
understood
bigger than
the game Overwatch, I would enjoy it even more,
idea. I don't understand it either.
Like, as I said, if there was a league that was like Street Fighter, or if there was a league that was Mortal Kombat, right. or Mario Kart.
People go to bars to watch this, too.
Well, yeah.
We did a TV story on it.
They had the Street Fighter thing down at the castle a while back. Red Bull was involved in that, and that was something I was actually interested in seeing. But I don't know the game Overwatch. To me, it looks kind of like, once again, this is how dated it is, but Doom was a game that, you know, I used to play. It kind of looks like an updated version of Doom or Halo. I don't know. But I want to know how to set up one of these videos. Tony, you know how to do this? Tony, what's up, man? Hang on. Why can I not?
All set up
Hey, Tony, what's up, man? I'm sorry. Do you know how to do this thing?
Hey, guys. I'd be happy to get this set up for him. I'm a geek. I'm an IT guy, and I'd be happy to get this thing rolling for you guys.
Do you play Overwatch?
I have played Overwatch, not my game of choice, but and I'm terrible at it. But I'd be happy to show them the ropes.
Okay, hang on. I need the best of the best, though. Hang on. We'll get your number to set it up.
I
don't know.
I think it's like a matter of fact. Here we go. Let's.
It's a first person shooting game. I know that.
It's like, and you take on other guys that are in there, and you talk trash
as a team. No, you can't play it alone though. You need teammates, I think. Right?
You see, I don't know.
I think it's a team game.
It's not one on everyone. It's like four people.
No,
at the same
I think
time.
It's like your five guys go into up against all other right. five guys.
I know we're driving some Overwatch fan crazy, not knowing like what's going on.
I know.
But hey, listen, I'm trying to learn. I'm not one of these people who's going to write it off.
No.
Ryan, what's up, man?
Hey guys. Hey. I appreciate you guys talking about the Overwatch League. I'm not a big Overwatch player, but. The more you talk about gaming, I mean, I'm a big fan of that stuff. I think you guys should report more on it.
Do you know how to do this thing? Like, do you know how to, first of all, these videos of people playing video games are enormous. Like, and like guys are making like a lot of money just like logging in to watch somebody blow stuff up. Do you know how to do it?
You go on Twitch. If you go on Twitch and you stream, you can have lots of viewers. People donate just because you're a guy playing a game and they give you $5. It's crazy how much money you can make.
All right. Well, if anybody knows, if anybody knows how to do this and set this up, I want this done like over the weekend. I want Monday to play the audio of this of John Wallach taking on these Overwatch guys, Gordon Hayward style with the headset. By the way, somebody says I just got my car and heard Rich say he wants a video of John blasting other dudes. You know what? Sometimes it's an unfortunate tune in where you don't hear the context of the story. All right, we'll get to all that. Plus, we will get to the stack right after John Wallach's headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack. 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. It's funny. All the Overwatch League people are tweeting us some funny stuff. I guess a dude got suspended from the Overwatch League.
And I'm really? Like,
for what? I'm like, how do you
throwing
get
the controller.
Well, there was two suspensions. One, I understand, is because the guy got on there, and you know you can talk to people in your headset. I guess he yelled out some horribly offensive word. You're like, all right, well, that guy's got... Yeah, he got the Dallas team. But his replacement just got suspended, apparently, because of account boosting, which I have no idea what that is, but you can't do it. It'll get you four games suspended. The dude that got suspended the first time... I didn't know. I was like, is this his name? It's like OXQ or something yeah. like that.
Yeah, they all have
handles.
Strange names. Okay. There's Dream Casper, K-A-Z-P-E-R. Well, I
you got to think of a name then. If you're going to do this, we're going to record you doing these.
I need my own jersey.
You got to misspell it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, Wizard has to be in it. W-I-Z-Z-E-R-D.
Yeah.
Wizard, B-E-R-D. Wizard Bird. Who knows?
All right. Wizard Waldick.
Wizard Waldick. Yeah, that's right. You could be Waldick.
Be number one.
But it'd be like D-I-K-K. It's got to be like really
yeah,
like cool.
Sure, right.
Like super yeah. cyber.
And then put like a 103 at the end, right? A 101.
Something. Have news for you, and I've had listeners tweet me this picture. They sell Boston Uprising T-shirts at the Patriots Pro Shop.
Yeah, I mean, because the Crafts own it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they obviously
so if
have,
you, they have gear,
in
apparently.
It. Well, good. I'll take an Overwatch shirt. I'll take an Xbox so I can play Overwatch.
Exactly. Oh, darn it. I don't have an Xbox.
Don't even have any
access
to it. I
need help with that.
By the way, Dan, you were asking me off the air, because you're a huge movie guy, right?
Yeah.
You see a ton of stuff. And you go on your own to a lot of movies, too,
yeah.
right?
Okay. I usually go Tuesdays to Thursdays, my off day, sit in the front row in my trench coat, nothing else on, and the Lowe's in Bethune, and watch a movie.
Just enjoy yourself. Yeah, yeah, so, you know, call the cops and look out for Rush. So what have you seen, by the way, recently that's
any Black
good?
Panther. Movie.
Okay. Do you like White Panther?
I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was, you know, and I understand the social message and everything else. I thought it was good. You know what I mean? I love all those movies, but
sure.
I wouldn't say it was the best that I've seen, but I thought it was fun.
I think you and I agree. I think that it's a Marvel movie, which means it's better than most.
Yes.
They just continue to make great movies. But it's middle of the pack Marvel. I think that I put Black Panther somewhere with, like, as a superhero with Captain America. They're not really great superheroes, you know, I like Thor. The last Thor movie was excellent.
Yes,
like,
Ragnarok.
It was excellent. Yep. And you know what's funny is that I watched right after that. I turned on Justice League, the movie. I finally got around to watching that. I lasted 20 minutes and I turned it off.
Yeah.
And I'm not the kind of person who just like will turn off a movie. I saw it. And I said, I already know 20 minutes into this, I'm going to hate it. This is just it's boring. It's dull. And I had just watched Thor Ragnarok, which was excellent. And it hit all the right notes. And that one was just...
You know what movie I loved? And I thought it was hysterical. And it didn't really get much play. My daughter said, come see it. And I went to see it. And it was pretty funny. And it was kind of like a simple movie. But it was the Jumanji movie. It was hysterical.
Oh, yeah. That did like really well.
Yeah, because it surprised the heck out of me. It was funny. It was really well done. It was very creative. I don't think it's what you think. So I would recommend seeing that. That's out on DVR or whatever now. So,
by the way, what Black Panther is doing at the box office is insane.
Yeah, really
like,
is.
I think it's going to be, it might already be right now the number 6 highest grossing domestic film. And it's approaching, like, I mean, with a bullet, it's going to beat some of the Star Wars movies. I mean,
Fast and Furious 7 is up in there somewhere, too, isn't it?
The Fast and Furious franchise, like, has made a ton of money.
No,
you can't, every movie that comes out.
But it's just odd that I remember Fast and Furious 7 globally is dominant, like $1 billion or something. It's a crazy number.
I mean, it's ridiculous. But I guess that the pre-sales for Infinity War have passed, like, any other superhero comic book movie.
Well, every single superhero is in that one, right?
Yeah.
Like, 30 of them.
Yeah. So, I guess that I'm looking at the Black Panther thing, and it's made $612 million just domestically. So,
God.
It was really good. I mean, it was really good. But, I mean, I've seen better ones. Let's go to Zach. Zach, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich. Zach.
Oh, he didn't give me. I didn't even tell him my name was Zach. But anyway,
name Zach?
My name is not Zach. It's not even close to Zach.
Okay. Well. Anyway. Hey, what is your name?
All right, my name's Aaron. To be completely honest.
Okay, it was fun.
No need for it to be a secret.
Right,
I mean,
it's been good to be honest.
Nick, why did you put Zach in there?
And Rich, I met you when I was back in high school. My mom worked for the Globe, and you were doing some event. But anyway. Black Panther, I think, was actually a really great movie. I think it was just as good as, if not better than Ragnarok. The only thing that had Ragnarok better over Black Panther was that it had the Hulk more in it than any other Marvel movie. And besides that, I think Black Panther is actually the best Marvel movie they had so far.
Here's my problem with Black Panther is that there, like, I look back and there weren't any action scenes that I can really remember. Like, there was nothing that stood out as being, wow, that was a great action scene, or wow, that was this great scene. The best parts of it were the parts that had nothing to do with yes. the superhero stuff. Like, there was, like, kind of cool stuff about...
It was one of the best plots.
Father,
you know,
and his upbringing. And that yeah. part was interesting. But
I agree with you
know
on
what?
That.
I see a Marvel movie. I want to see stuff blow up real good.
Yeah.
I want to see explosions. I want to see, like, dumb stuff like Fast and the Furious. But, I mean, it was very good. It was very good. It just was kind of middle of the pack Marvel. All right, if we geeked out there for enough amount of time, I hate to break your heart, Dan, but David Ortiz doesn't think that the Red Sox are the team to beat.
Well, can I just
in
tell
the AL
you
East.
What Brian Johnson is about to face today?
What's that?
The Red Sox go to Tampa and play the Yankees today.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hear their lineup for the Yankees that they trot out. How'd you like to be warming up in that first inning, and who do you see come out on deck? Right, the first two hitters usually come out and start swinging.
Sure.
Aaron Judge is leading off. Giancarlo Stanton is batting second. Greg Bird, Gary Sanchez, Aaron Hicks, Didi Gregorius, Brandon Drury, Neil Walker, Brett Gardner, and Tanaka is your pitcher.
Yeah, it's intense.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's
a couple
like,
extra at-bats for the big guys. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, but
hit them right at the top of the order.
But that's what Ortiz said. Ortiz said, he goes, that's pretty much a stacked lineup with more power. When he talks about the Yankees, he goes, I don't think anyone else in the division can compete with that. I mean, when you hear David Ortiz say something like that, one of your buddies and somebody who obviously would probably try to lean fairly pro-Red Sox, does that concern you at all?
No, because he also said, I think the Red Sox are good this year in the underdog role. Let them go out and play that role and see if they can battle them. So, no, on paper, Rich, there's no question. If you just look at that lineup like we just did and they have enough pitching, the Yankees deserve to be favored over the Red Sox to win the American League East. Will they? Don't know. Hoping it's a ding-dong battle all the way down the stretch.
Okay, so the speaking of the Red Sox, a survey was conducted, or a study was conducted on how much it costs you to be they're calling it a diehard baseball fan for each team. Now, the way that it was if you had a ticket for every game and you bought a team jersey, you paid for parking every game, you bought a beer every game, a soft drink, and some food. And they compiled all of that together. If you were a diehard fan, someone who's like a season ticket holder, what teams would cost the most when you included also all the extra things that go with going to a game?
Right. Red Sox Yankees got to be near the top. Right?
Red Sox Yankees are 2 and 3. Boston Red Sox in second. They said it would cost, this sounds low, to have tickets to every game and to do, it says $12,712.
Depends on where the seats are, Rich.
Yeah.
I mean, if
one
you have bleacher
too,
seats,
right?
You come in under that.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And it doesn't really specify where the seats are. I'm assuming they probably found the cheapest.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for that price, you're thinking that's probably the cheapest
game. The Red Sox and the Yankees are 2 and 3.
Yep.
Either the Dodgers or the Cubs, right?
I'm thinking the Cubs.
Yeah.
That would be the Cubs. The Cubs are number one.
Where Dodgers got to be top five. Actually, you know what? Fans still don't care about LA, about the Dodgers.
The Dodgers are they're not in the top five.
See, wow. They have the biggest payroll. If any fans cared at all, it would cost a ton.
No, the top five most expensive teams to be a diehard fan of. Cubs number one with $15,700. Boston Red Sox, second place, $12,700. Yankees, $12,500. The Atlanta Braves.
How is that possible?
Team.
Talk about fans that don't care. Because, my God.
I guess, but the whole thing with, like, I mean, you can, there's plenty of parking in Atlanta. There is.
What about the new facilities? That must have factored
super
in
expensive.
That. Right?
Maybe, but I mean, it's a big drop from the Yankees. It goes to 10-9, but that is the fourth most expensive team to be a super fan of. The Mets, number five. And the least, can you name the least expensive team to be a super fan of? This is actually fairly shocking.
Tampa, Florida?
Tampa is number three, the third least expensive
Miami?
Team. Miami not on here. The Dodgers are the fifth least expensive team.
Really?
Yep.
As I
only
said,
cost $6,000.
Fans do not care.
To be a super fan, to go to every game and do all that stuff.
Merchandising.
Kansas City Royals at number four. The
Padres?
Rays at number three. Nope. The Chicago White Sox at number two. And at number one, how about the number two market in the country? Los Angeles Angels. At $4,500. That is the cheapest team
that's a great
to be a
park,
super fan
too.
Of.
It's a fun game. Fun place to watch a game.
Is it?
Awesome.
See, I've always wanted to go to Petco Park down in San Diego. I heard that's a great place to see a game. I've heard that's a... And then the whole area around it, I heard it's supposed to be okay. I like San Diego.
Yes, very nice. If I lose my job and everything else and lose my family, the one place I would go to would be Petco Park, because I'd have a transistor radio to listen to every game underneath. The weather's fine, so it's warm, and I just hang out underneath Petco Park as a homeless person.
By the way, that's bordering on negative Roachy there.
Is this something you contemplated?
Like, wow.
Is there something happening in your life?
Every situation, just cover.
Sure.
Jesus.
If I lose my life, I lose everything.
Wow.
I cry.
Well, you know, all of a sudden, it got cloudy in here.
The college
my
payments,
goodness.
You know?
All right. It's 617-779-0985. We'll find out who the hell's crossing over tomorrow or later on. I don't know what the hell's happening. Who's here in the midday show? I don't know. But we'll talk to whoever it is next.
98.5, the Sports Hub.